We'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, we are wrapping up, probably within either today or next week, the series we've been talking about for the past several weeks. If you're just tuning in today, has been called Back to Basics. And what we decided to do is to kind of go back to the basics of our faith and talk about kind of the essential beliefs that we as Orthodox Christians hold. And we've been using as our map the Orthodox Creed, okay, which we recite every Sunday, that we believe in one God, God the Father, Pontificator Creator. And going through that is kind of like the map of our faith. And we've gotten now down to the final statement, bless you, in the Creed. But it's one that I think that we may end up spending a couple weeks on, which is this one right here. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the coming age. Amen. Here we go. This is what everyone's favorite topic. We get to talk about the end of the world. We get to talk about the second coming. We get to talk about the wars and the apocalypses and the Armageddons and the movies and all the different stuff that comes out. We all want to know what's going to happen at the end. No one cares about today as much as we care about the end, because we all are excited to, either excited in a bad way or excited in a positive way, but curious is a better way, or anxious for some people, or whatever, to talk about the end times. Now let me start off by telling you that if you think that we're going to come, like you're going to walk out of here and know all the answers, then you're misguided. I don't have all the answers. No one has all the answers except God. So we're not going to pinpoint the day or the time or the president that's going to come in and then what's going to happen. We're not going to do all that kinds of stuff. But what we are going to do is look at kind of the facts that we know to be true about the end times and what it's going to be like and what's going to happen after that. And hopefully we can just look at the facts and get a better understanding. But don't think that you're going to walk out of here knowing things from A to Z, because I don't know things from A to Z, and I'd be lying to you if I said that I did. And anyone who tells you they know exactly what's going to happen is lying to you, because no one knows exactly what's going to happen. That's one thing that we do know for sure. So, we talk about the end times. I'm going to break it down this way, okay? There is a lot, the subject that we're going to try to cover between today and next week. There is the second coming of Christ, which then leads to heaven and hell and the afterlife. All right. So today we're going to talk about is that like second coming, that event or that series of events that happens kind of here on earth that's going to lead us to the next step. But we're not going to talk about the next step today. We'll talk about that next week. So we're not going to talk about what heaven's like and hell's like. We'll try to focus on that a little bit next week. But today we're talking about is the earth side of things. All right. That what's going to happen to me and you here on earth that's going to, you know, be kind of like the transition to the afterlife, all right? What that's going to look like. And as you know, everyone's got different beliefs. There's 100 different opinions, 1,000 different opinions, 1,000 different theories, 1,000 different doctrines the different churches hold, and a wide range of opinions. The thing is that I've noticed that there's two kinds of extremes that we fall into when it comes to the second coming. There's the group of people, one extreme, which is the, you know what, this is hard, this isn't easy, this is in Revelation and symbols and horses and trumpets, and I don't understand it, so therefore, I'm just not going to deal with it. You know, whatever happens, happens, I'll just roll the dice. That's not a very wise way to approach it, okay? If I told you that you're in chemistry class, you're in chemistry 101, and there's an exam the final day, you say, no, it's hard and it's confusing, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to study, and I don't want to know details because it's hard and it hurts my brain. You're most likely going to fail the test, okay? So that's not a good approach. Now, the other extreme is also not a good approach, which is the, you know, going crazy about the second coming and, you know, like I said, like every detail, the traffic light, what does this mean about the second coming, and every time something happens and a president comes in, he's the Antichrist and he's this and this is Babylon and this and that, and thinking every war is the last war and everything like, and like that, that's another extreme that we don't want to go to either. So, where we want to be is kind of somewhere in between. That we don't want to be crazy people, but we also don't want to be ignorant people. And where do you think God wants us to be is, like I said, right in the middle. And you see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. The goal for today is very simple. That you would, number one, be informed. Okay? that you would be informed about the events of the second coming. Because like it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to have no clue. I don't want you to show up on the day of the exam and say, what's chemistry? And what's a periodic table? I don't want you to do that. So I want you to have some information. But I don't want you to be a crazy person who's on this extreme, who is, you know, anxious and sweating and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. So the other thing I want you to be is I want you to be informed and also inspired. Okay? I want the information to lead to inspiration. Or, as St. Paul said, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. All right? The goal of our discussion, like I said, is that we would walk out of here with hope. That we walk out of here and say, second coming, all right, I can't wait. This is going to be a great thing. Can you imagine that? That if the more you understand about the second coming, the more you'll be able to do that and say, this is something that I'm looking forward to, believe it or not. That's our goal. It's not to be confused. It's not to be scared. We're not going to talk about it so everyone walks out of here scared and, you know, walks out of here crying and repents tonight. That's not the goal. God never did anything to scare us. God did all these things to give us hope and to give us comfort. And believe it or not, the early church, when they were being persecuted and they were being tortured and they were being killed for their faith, you know what gave them hope? Reading the book of Revelation. That was the prophecy of that is what gave a lot of people a lot of hope in their tribulations, and it can be the same thing for us if you understand what it has to say. Okay? So, we'll get into the details of what it is that we believe and what's going to happen, all that stuff. But the important thing before we get started is the one thing that every Christian believes. All right? Like I said, there's differences between the denominations and different churches say this and that. One thing that everyone agrees on, and one thing that we know for sure is very simple, is that Jesus will return. Okay? That's for sure. No one disagrees with that. Okay? No one disagrees with that. That Jesus will return. He will come back. Okay? We can disagree on how he comes back. We can disagree on all the other details around it. But no one disagrees on this. That he will come back. Look at Acts chapter 1 verse 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This is when Christ, after he had risen from the dead and ascended to heaven, rose up out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The angel, what happened? The disciple is standing around. All of a sudden, Jesus is lifted up in a cloud. You can imagine, if I was lifted up in a cloud, you'd be doing the same thing like then. You'd just be looking up, when's he going to come back, and all that kind of stuff. The angel comes to him and says, what are you wasting your time looking up in heaven for? Don't stand up here gazing. The one who just went up, the same Jesus who went up, is going to come back. All right. When I was with the, you know, every week I talk to the kids here in the school, the little flock kids, and I give them the chapel time. Every year my favorite topic is talk about heaven. They love to talk about heaven. Because heaven is very, the easiest way to think about it is it's like your daddy dropping you off at school and he comes back and picks you up. And you know when your daddy comes back and you run back to daddy, this and that, daddy. Every kid loves that. That's exactly what it's talking about right here. Yeah, Jesus has left us here on earth. But it doesn't mean he's not going to come back. All right, and we should understand that he's going to come back one day, and that coming back is going to be a great thing with a hug and punch in the face and all this kind of stuff, and it's going to be like a great coming back one day. He didn't just leave us here, but he's coming back. So like I said, that's the one thing we know. And therefore, since he's coming back, I should be ready. All right, I should be ready. I should have my book bag on when the bell rings. Okay, I should be ready looking out the window when the car pulls up in the carpool line. I should be ready because I know he's going to come back. I shouldn't be twiddling my thumbs. I shouldn't be asleep in the bathroom. I should be ready because I know he's going to come back. There's a story that I heard one time, true story, about a guy who was driving along a road, all right, and it had the thing that said speed limit, you know, 55. You go 75. Then after that, there's another sign that said speed limit, radar strictly enforced, 80 miles per hour. And then another thing that says, you know, by aircraft and work zone and double fine, 85 miles an hour. Then it was even the flashing thing that says slow down, your speed this, 90 miles an hour. Then he gets to the end of the bridge and there's a cop there. And the cop pulls him over. So the cop says, "Didn't you see the speed limit?" He says, "Yep." "Didn't you see the radar and four sign?" "Yep." "Didn't you see the flashy thing that said your speed is this?" He said, "Yep." "So why are you going that fast?" He said, "Very simple. I didn't see you at the end of the bridge." You know what? A lot of us, we laugh, a lot of us have that same attitude towards the second coming. Because the signs are there, and the commandments are there, and what we should do is there, and it's all written. But our problem is that we're not looking towards the cop at the end of the bridge. Well, I'm telling you, the one thing that everyone knows for sure is the same Jesus who went up into heaven is going to come back. And the same person who gave all the commandments and told us how to live a pure life and a life with God and according to his commandments, that same person is going to come back. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly in details, but I know for sure he's going to come back. So you better be realizing that bridge is going to end and there's going to be, I don't want to look at him as a police officer, but yeah, kind of so to speak, he's going to be standing on the other side and he's going to ask you about how fast you were driving and how you chose to drive recklessly and whether or not you had your seatbelt on and all these different things. That one thing we know for sure, because every time the Lord talked about the second coming, the one thing he stressed over and over and over and over and over is be alert, be ready. I'm going to come back. You should be ready for that. Okay? And that's our goal today, is that we learn the facts about the second coming, and therefore it leads me to a life of readiness. Now, we're not just taking knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We're taking this knowledge to apply it to my life and live a life of readiness, okay? And be ready for him to come back one of these days, okay? Is that good? You ready to get into the facts about the second coming? All right, good. I got four truths right there about the second coming. All right? And I wrote them down so that way there'd be no misinterpretation or miss nothing. Number one, Jesus Christ is coming again at any moment. That's what we just said. He's at the end of the bridge. I don't know where life goes, but I know he's at the end of it. Number two, this world will not last. Again, cover to cover, the scripture says the same thing, that there will be a new earth and a new heaven. What's it going to look like? All this kind of stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But the important thing is that it's not like this world. This world isn't going to last. This job isn't going to last. This house isn't going to last. No matter how big your house is, or how big your car is, how big your bank account, it's not going to last. By the same token, no matter how small your bank account is, it's not going to last either. So this world won't last. Number three, things will get worse before they get better. That's not the most optimistic one, but it's a fact, okay? That eventually things will be great. We'll be at home with Daddy. But before that happens, we may have to fight some traffic. All right, we may have to, you know, go through some speed bumps or something. Things will get worse, and we'll talk about that, before they get better. But then, number four, one day there will be a new heaven and new earth, just like I said. All right, all the stuff that's here isn't going to last. Everything will be new. Knowing those facts should change the way you live your life. Knowing how this game ends should change the way you walk through life, should change your perspective. You agree with me? Do you know how? See, I can say that and everyone can kind of agree, but we all kind of know the world's going to end, but it doesn't really affect me on a day-to-day basis. Let me put it to you this way. You all know that one of my favorite things in the whole wide world to do is watch the Washington Redskins, okay? Huge Redskins fan, okay? And up until this year, I always had a dilemma on Sundays. They played at 1. I didn't leave church till like 1:30 or 2 or sometimes 2:30. And I had to tape it on the VCR and make sure I don't listen to people's voicemails and call when they're saying this and that. And I can't start watching till like 5 o'clock in case there was overtime or something like that. This year, the problem got solved by a great invention called TiVo. Very good, okay? So now I get home. When I get home, and I just, boom, and I cruise through. I still have to avoid me and Milo's phone calls because he always had a tendency to call me and say, can't you believe what's happening, can you? Always someone has to do that to me. But anyway, last Sunday, okay, for those of you who don't know, the Redskins played against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, those of you who don't care about football, bear with me one moment. You'll catch along, okay, by the end. They played the Philadelphia Eagles. Great, great game. Came down to the last play of the game where the Eagles were driving. They had the ball on near the goal line, 4th and 7. They didn't get it. Redskins win. It was, I'm telling you, it was a Sunday night game. Marianne and Michael were asleep. They weren't asleep at the end of that game because there was lots of screaming going on. Screaming and throwing my and stuff and this and that. And I was yelling and the neighbors and everything. I was just going crazy. But before that, I was on the edge of my seat and I was praying and I was, you know, just really nervous and really, really tense. Now, I also had TiVo'd the game while I was watching it. So So then, you know, just a couple days ago, I, you know, was eating lunch or whatever, and I wanted to just kind of review the events of the past, you know, kind of watch film from last week. So I started to watch the game again. And I wanted to watch, especially that last series, that last drive, and the last play, how it happened. Was I watching the same way a couple days ago as I was watching last Sunday night? Was my attitude the same? Was my behavior the same? Nothing was the same, okay? The Sunday, when I was watching it live, I was, you know, like this, on the edge of my seat, and nervous and anxious about what's going to happen, and I'm going to kill myself if they score, and I'm going to celebrate if they win, and all this kind of stuff. But this past couple days, I know what's going to happen. I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. I'm just watching to just kind of see how it goes. And I'm watching and say, you know, that guy did a really good job on this play. Let me rewind and see how he did it again. And that guy, excellent job getting pressure. Marcus Washington did a great job getting pressure on the quarterback to make McNabb roll out to the right. It just, I'm just watching it again just to kind of observe the beauty of how the Redskins won the game. It's the same thing with life outside, okay? Too many of us live a life of anxiety and a life of stress because we don't understand about the second coming. But I'm telling you, the results are in. I know who wins the game. God wins. Devil doesn't win. God wins. Jesus comes back in the end. I know the result. He's already told me what's going to happen. I shouldn't live a life of anxiety. I shouldn't live a life of stress. I shouldn't be worried. Did he abandon me? Is he going to come back? Is he just leaving me here by myself in this world to just suffer? I don't need to do that. I can sit calmly and just watch as the events of the world unfold and say, you know what? Jesus told me this was going to happen. I see earthquakes. I see destruction. He promised this is going to happen. I see the fall, and I see this, and I see, you know, false prophets. He told me this is going to happen. I'm not scared. I'm not losing faith. I'm not going to go into anxiety or stress or depression. He told me all this kind of stuff is happening. He told me I'm going to have tribulation. That's the way we should be when it comes to the world, that we should rest and be comforted knowing that we know the end result. So here, think about it in this way, that everything that's going to happen has already been, you know, God knows what's going to happen. And He is giving us the instructions to get through life knowing exactly how this game is going to end and this and that, so we can trust in Him. All right? Now, a warning, okay, about studying the second coming is make sure, all right, you don't get lost in the details of the second coming. This is my warning, like label to you. Like, you know, when you buy a piece of electronics or whatever, it says, you know, don't put in water or don't leave in the sun or something like that. Here's my warning to you. We're going to talk about the second coming and some of the facts. Don't get lost in the details. And what I mean by that is, it's very simple. It's easy to get caught up in the symbols and the times. And when is it going to happen? And like I said, which president? And which war? And which country? And this and that. And you're getting yourself all caught up in the details, and you're missing the big picture. Billy Graham spoke about this one time. He's talking about how sometimes, you know, like when you look at a piece of artwork, and it's like something sophisticated and something nice, that if you look at it too close, all you see is like a mess of strokes, and you just see like a blob. Then you got to step back, and you get to see the beauty of it. Same thing with the second coming. Don't get yourself so caught up in, you know, is Bush the Antichrist or not? Is Bill Gates this? Is Mickey Mouse the Antichrist or Ronald McDonald or something like that? Don't get yourself caught up in that stuff, okay? Instead, take a step back and see how God is working, you know, and see the masterpiece, really, of the way it is that He's working in life. Some people, like I was saying, Billy Graham was talking about, they look at Revelation, the book of Revelation specifically, and they get too caught up in the details. This is what Billy Graham said about that topic. He said, "We have turned a great masterpiece," talking about the book of Revelation, "into a series of images and brushstrokes. We have tried to outguess each other into the modern meaning of every star, dragon, and number, and as a result, we have lost the grand design of the prophet's mission, and we have missed the urgency of his writing." We don't want to do that. Okay, we don't want to get too into the details that we miss the big picture. We miss the urgency. And the big picture is very simple. That in the end, evil is destroyed and the good guys go up to heaven. That's the big picture. All right. It doesn't matter who is, you know, I mean, obviously it does matter, but I'm saying it doesn't matter if you predict who the Antichrist is or not. It doesn't matter if you predict when it's going to be. All that matters is that in the end, like I said, bad guys to the left, good guys to the right. All right. Now, with that, what are some of the signs that are going to lead to the second coming? All right. When you talk about signs of the second coming, it's important that you understand that there's three types of signs, okay? The first kind of sign is signs that point to the end, all right? Signs that point to the end. Signs that don't necessarily precede the end right away. Signs that don't accompany the end, but signs that point to it. And if you look at what our Lord says, He calls those the beginning of birth pangs, okay? Or the beginning of sorrows. You know, when a woman goes, like our Lord compared it to like a woman going into labor. When a woman goes into labor, there's kind of signs that tell you it's gonna happen sometime soon. And then there's signs that tell you it's happening right now. And then there's signs that are that take place that are showing you that now is the time that actually the baby's coming out. Same thing with the second coming. The first group is, like I said, the signs that say, you know what, you had a contraction last night. You should be prepared that in the next month or so, or 3 weeks or so, that something could be happening, okay? Or they say that the woman's stomach dropped, or something like that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. We don't need to go into detail. The woman's stomach does drop. That's actually a true fact. I didn't know until my wife had a baby. Because first the baby's like this, then when the baby decides he wants to come out, the wife's stomach drops. Then you know. Whatever. That's not going to be on the test. Don't worry about that. You don't need to know that when it comes to the second coming. But the bottom line is that 2,000 years ago when our Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, He told His disciples that, hey, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be wars, there's going to be all this kinds of stuff, and that is the beginning of sorrows. All right. Look at Mark 13, 5 through 10. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. And there will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. What he's talking about here is, again, not signs that as soon as you see one, the end is coming, but signs that you're going to see throughout the time period leading up to the second coming. All right. I believe that for the past 2,000 years, we've been seeing more and more and more of these signs, and that's an indication that we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. For example, he says right there, many will come in my name saying, I am he, deceive many. All right. Talking about false Christs, false prophets. Can you think of any that have come? David Koresh is a good one. Anyone else? Joseph Smith is another good one. Anyone else? Who? What did he say? I didn't hear. Ellen White? Who's Ellen? Ellen White, okay. She had a talk show. Is that the Ellen talk show lady? Ellen White. Who, I don't know who Ellen White is, but okay, we'll go with that one. Okay? Lead of the Seventh-day Adventist, okay? Muhammad is another one, right? False prophet, all right? Lots of them have come. There's many, many, many of them. And this is, again, showing what the Lord is saying is true. How about, after that he said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are there wars going on? Are there rumors of wars? Absolutely. This stuff happens all the time. This is, again, what the Lord is saying, that you should expect these things to happen. Talks about famines. Famines? Yes. All over the world, lots of places have famines, all right? Troubles? Yeah. What you see with each of these things is that each one of these is signs of the end, and then right before the end, each one is going to culminate with a great one. So there's wars now, before the end there's going to be the great war. There's famines now, before the end there's going to be the worldwide famine. There's false Christ now, before the end is the great Antichrist. All these things are happening now, and we're kind of ramping up, and then boom, all of a sudden, at the end, they'll happen in like a great way. But until then, all these things are going to happen. And this is like I was saying, things get worse before they get better. These things aren't good things, okay? These are not good signs. But there is one good sign. There's one good thing that's supposed to happen before the end, which is what? The last one there. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Thing is, if you look around at the world today, some of you say, well, how is that possible? When you look at TV, and you look at the internet, and you look at iPods and podcasts, and you look at all the different ways that the gospel is being preached, I don't think that this is that far off, all right? I don't think that we're that far away from every creature hearing about the gospel, if we haven't even gotten there already, okay? So the point is, of all these different things, is that we see them happening, all right? This is not something surprising us. We know that these things are going to happen. We know they're going to culminate, like I said, one day. Because we see them happening, we have, because we know the Word of God, like almost like an advance notice. All right. But here's the thing. That advance notice doesn't do you much good unless you do something about it. Look at it from this way. There's some people, I am one of them, that when you're driving your car and you hear a slight, what should you do? You should do something, okay, is the important thing. I'll tell you what you should not do. Say, it should be okay. It'll go away. Or when you see a cute little light on, it pops up. That's a cute little light. It's like a Christmas light next to a little oil tank or something like that, okay? You should not ignore it because the warning signs are there, and you have a choice, all right? You can solve that problem when it's just a hum, and at that point in time, it's something that could probably be fixed easily if you just addressed it. Or you can wait till the engine falls out, all right? Because that's what's going to happen. Because that hum ain't going to go away by itself. That oil light ain't going to go away by itself. And a lot of us choose to do that with our cars, which is bad, but even worse, with our life. Don't wait for the engine to fall out in life. You see the signs coming. Get yourself ready. You see that the warning signs are there. Don't hope that it's going to go away. All right, you can save yourself a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of hassle if you get that car fixed as soon as you hear the hum. Same thing in your spiritual life. You can get yourself fixed in a much easier way if you start to fix it when you see the warning signs and you don't wait for your life to fall apart or for disaster to come. Okay? So those are signs that point to the end. The second group of signs is signs that immediately precede the end. Okay? That immediately precede the end. This is like what I was saying, like, the culmination of all these different things. Though lots of wars, great war. Lots of Christ, antichrist. Lots of famine, worldwide famine. Think about it like going to the movie theater. All right, and you go to the movie, you walk in early, get yourself your popcorn, you sit down, there's light music in the background or whatever, then all of a sudden the previews come. And there could be one preview, there could be like 700 previews, you don't know. But then all of a sudden, something happens to let you know the end is now. Lights go dimmer. Maybe the screen goes into like one of those widescreen things. Now you know the end is about to happen right now. Okay? The movie's about to start right now. Same thing when it comes to the second coming. What are those signs? Well, I wrote down three of them, and they're big, fancy, schmancy, theological words. So don't get frustrated by them. They're not that hard. The first one there is apostasy. Who knows what apostasy means? It's a big word. It's a fancy, schmancy word. What, anyone know what it means? Say what? Yeah, who said that? False teachings. Okay, very good. Basically what it means, exactly like you said, there'll be lots of false, lots of deception, lots of people teaching the wrong thing, and different stuff like that. Look at Matthew 24, the verse right there, 10 to 12. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Other places in the Bible talks about the stars in heaven are going to fall. The apostasy means that lots of people are going to be deceived. Lots of people are going to be thrown a curveball and they're going to fall for it. Okay? The stars from heaven falling means like the great saints and the great leaders of the church. And some people look around and say like back in the 80s they had like the Jim Baker and all those different guys falling, all that kind of stuff. Some people look around and say that kind of stuff. Who knows exactly, but we know in the end that there will be many prominent people who will fall. False teaching or life ruined or whatever. Yeah, I mean. Okay. Great example. That's a great example. Okay, that's a wonderful example. That's exactly what it means. Go ahead. Okay. That's a great example. That's exactly what apostasy means, is that many will be deceived. All right. Now, in addition to apostasy, the second word there is moral decline. All right. And moral decline, let's read the verse on the back of your handout, all right, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents even, if you can imagine that, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. This is not something that you look at and say, wow, I can't imagine what life would be like if this was true. Right? Something you see around all the time. But at the end, it's going to be to even a higher degree is what it's saying. The moral decline means that simply exactly what it sounds like is that morality will decline. Society will go down. If you look at society, really has been going down and down and down. But there's a pit that it's going to hit one day at the end. And then the last sign, okay, the last sign that immediately precedes the end, there was apostasy, moral decline, and the third one is polarization. All right, and that's not a doctrinal word. That's a word that I invented. I don't know if it's the right word. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, doesn't polarize mean that people will go to extremes, right? Some will go to the North Pole, some will go to the South Pole. That's what the Bible says, but I couldn't think of a fancy way to say it. It says that those who follow the Lord will be really strong in following the Lord, and those who are not following will be really far not following. The line will be clear. There'll be no one on the fence. People will start going to these two extremes. Do you see that happening today? Absolutely. If you look at this country, United States of America, it is both, simultaneously, the best country in the world and the worst country in the world. Because the best Christians and the best leaders of the church and the best this and that from this country, okay? And then, I'm not talking about the leaders of the church as much as like the churches and they're strong and they're active and you have, you know, prayer days and stuff like that. But then by the same token, the worst morality in the world you can see in this country as well. That's what it's saying, is the bad will get badder and the good will get gooder, better, okay? And I guess batter was incorrect too. Batter would be worse. Just keeping you guys on your toes. I wrote that one and just keep you on your toes. So like I said, there's signs that point to the end. End will be coming sometime. Then there's signs that say, you know what? The end is about to happen. And then there's signs that say, the end is here. And that's what the last one is. Signs that accompany the end. All right? Signs that you will see during the end. And that's exactly, that's the engine falling out. Okay? That's when the world is done. All right? And that's when there will be no guessing. You know, that's when the car stops, engine falls out, whole world, from coast to coast, pole to pole, says, now is the end, now Christ is coming back. What are those signs? I'm not going to get into them in detail because we could spend like 6 years on those things. That's what the book of Revelation talks about the sun and the stars and the earthquakes and the pestilences. That's when it talks about things like the trumpets and the bowls and the seals and different things like that. Okay? The point of it is, though, is, like I said, everyone will know. There will be great distress. There will be great trauma. There will be great tribulation. There will be all kinds of stuff. The Antichrist will be there. There will be the Great War. But we know that, like I said, that's the end. That's the traffic jam. But we know that the only way to get home is to fight that traffic, okay? And it leads to the end, okay? Or it is the end, which will soon end. Now, the question that's on everyone's mind when it comes to the end is, when? When's it going to happen? Well, here we go. I got the answer for you. All right? In that blank that you see right there, I will tell you the answer of when it's going to happen. Are you ready? Don't listen to Nostradamus. Don't listen to Ellen, what's her name? Don't listen to any of these funny people. You listen to me because I'm going to tell you the answer. Are you ready? When it will all happen is soon. Soon. That's all I know. But I know that that's right. That's what the Bible says. That's what Christ says. And if you look at when Christ spoke about the end, he didn't give charts and timelines, but what he gave is like pictures, okay? Word pictures to show you, not to tell you, but to show you when the end was going to come. And the two ones that are popping in my head when I think of the pictures of when the Lord said, the end is going to come like, anyone remember? Well, he led like a thief, but he gave two examples. Okay, or two like historical situations that remind us of the end coming. One was Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other one was Noah. He said, just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, people were what? Eating and drinking and laughing and living impure lives and this and that. All of a sudden, city was destroyed without even a blink of a warning. And the other one was Noah. Noah was building his ark. All the people were laughing at the fool Noah and saying, you're an old man. Why are you building an ark? It hasn't rained forever. Right? There hasn't been rain on this earth. And you're building like a 12-story ark. And he spent all his money. He spent years on it. They're all laughing at him. And then they're living their lives and eating and drinking and marrying and making money and doing all, living pleasure. Then all of a sudden the rain started to come. And Noah was inside and the poor people started to say, help us, Noah. Too late. That's how the end is going to come. It's going to come quickly. It's going to come. Everything is living life fine, and everyone's going through, eating and drinking, getting their promotion, buying their car. Then boom, all of a sudden, the end is right there, and there's nothing that can be done at that point in time. Okay? Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. The Lord said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Okay? I am coming quickly. So again, I don't know when, but I know it's going to be soon. I know it's going to be quick, because he said so. I'm coming quickly. Okay? Anyone who teaches, this is very important, anyone who teaches anything other than this, what I just said, is wrong. Anyone who says, no, the end is not going to come until this happens, and then there's going to be, you know, this is going to happen, and then there's going to be 3 years of this, and then we're going to have 5 years of notice. Anyone says that, wrong. Because that's exact opposite of what the Lord said. He said, like Noah, like Sodom and Gomorrah, and like you guys all said, that he's going to come as a thief in the night. Okay? Now, like I said, all those things will precede it. But anyone who says, no, when the Antichrist comes, we have 15 and a half hours until the end. No. No. That's not true. Anyone says it's going to happen in this year? No. That's not true. Because the only one who knows is God himself. No one knows. Yes?
Can you comment on the whole concept of the rapture?
Not really. I'll get to that at the end. I have some frequently asked questions. I'll add that one in there. Okay? FAQs when it comes to the second coming. Yes, Amy.
Isn't there a verse somewhere, and I can't remember where, but it says even Christ doesn't know the day or the hour?
Yeah, that's another good one, which talks about when Christ said that no one knows the day or the hour, including the Son of Man. Okay? Which I won't get into because that's a big one. But for our purposes today, let's take it as that no one knows the day or the hour. Okay? And if you're interested in knowing that, actually, we were talking about doing something in the Bible study soon, like hard sayings of the book of John. That's one that we started to work on. So stay tuned in the Bible study. Sometime down the road, we're going to have hard sayings.
But that's a good one for people who do say, oh, it's going to count out. Because if Jesus doesn't know what
you think you're doing. For our purposes, yeah, we'll take it that way and say that no one, I mean, how could Ellen know if Jesus Christ himself is saying? Even the Son of Man doesn't know. But Ellen was told by God? I mean, someone else have a hand up here? No? Okay. So I'll get to you in a little bit, Mimi. So as Amy was saying, that no one could possibly know. And more importantly, it's not our job to... Oh, yes, Mina.
In the book of Revelation, doesn't it say like so many days like for the Antichrist, and then the two will come to fight him, and they'll be dead for 3 days or something?
Hold on, I'm going to get to that at the end. Okay? You guys want to get into the numbers. I'll wait to the numbers till the end. Because, and honestly, I'm not avoiding it as much as, it's not as important as the principles, okay? And we can study the numbers and things like that, and I'll touch on them briefly, but it's not as important as the principle at hand right here. And look at Acts chapter 1, verse 7. This is why it's more important that we answer that question later, because it says, the disciples were asking our Lord Jesus Christ, when is it going to happen? When is all this stuff going to happen? He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. They asked him, tell us, give us the answer, when is it going to happen? You know what he said? He said, it's none of your business. It is not for you to know. He's not saying it rudely, not saying it meanly, he's saying the truth, that it's not for you to know, okay? It's only for the Father himself to know. Our job is not to predict when it is. Our job is to always be ready. And just reading the signs, like I said, we know how it's going to end. We're just watching the signs to see how God works. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to see the signs yet miss the end? By miss it, I mean not be prepared. Absolutely. I'm telling you, there's people who know the ins and outs of the signs and the 3.5 and the 5.5 and the 1,000 years, this and the that, who will miss it. Look at it this way. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but, you know, for the sake of this example, this, not this past World Series, the World Series before, okay? There was a specific play, which I remember, which basically cost the Cardinals the World Series, all right? Their pitcher, okay, made a base-running blunder. And if those of you remember it, I mean, he made a bad play. He's coming around, okay, so you know he's running from second to third, and at third base they have something called a base... our third base coach, who tells you, like, this means keep on running. And like, this means stop. All right? He was so in, the guy hit the ball and he's watching this and that, and he's looking at the guy, but he's so focused on what's happening that he's seeing the signs, and the signs are saying stop, but he just keeps on turning, and he turns the corner, and he starts going towards home. He gets called out. Basically, that was the demoralizing point. Cardinals lost, and the Sox went on to win it. Just like a baseball coach, many of us are too caught up in what's going on in life. All right, and the signs could be right in front of us. We could be watching that third base coach right there, and he's saying stop, and we're just turning around the corner. If you get too caught up in the details, and get too caught up in life, and you have your own strategy, this and that, that's not for us to do. What our job is to keep our eyes on the coach and do whatever it is that he tells us. And don't get too caught up, and like I said, in the nitty-gritty and the little details of it. All right? So, look at the next verse right there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. When it comes to the second coming, the good thing that we need to understand about this the good thing about this doctrine is it always keeps me in perspective. Okay? Whenever I think of the second coming, it keeps me from focusing too much on life, because sometimes, I'll be honest, you just like me probably, you focus too much on the here and the now, that I got to get this done, and this and that, and this to-do list, and this person, and this job, and this, this and that. The second coming always reminds me that, you know what, this world isn't going to last. You know, there's going to be so much more that's after this. So, you guys were asking now about the years, and Mimi was asking about the whole idea of rapture. A more general way of looking at it, like I'm going to big in the question a little bit, is you heard of the millennial period, the thousand-year period. All right, maybe some of you have, some of you haven't. I won't go into all the details to bore everyone. But basically, what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 6, it's not there, but it talks about at the end, there's this thousand-year reign. Okay, you may have heard of that. And during that thousand years, the devil will be, you know, like tied down, and the Lord Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years. And then the rapture and all that kind of stuff, all right? And then after that's going to happen, the Antichrist, different things like that. In order to understand all these other facts, you have to understand this millennial period, this 1,000-year period. There's three ways of looking at this 1,000-year period. A lot of people look at it as an earthly thing, okay? That there's going to be, like, here we are, 2005. That let's say the end happens tomorrow, that there's going to be 1,000 years from 2005 till 3005 where Christ is going to be here on earth, and it's going to be like an earthly kingdom. And there's going to be prosperity for all the Christians. And there's going to be like no wars, and there's going to be like no famines, and there's going to be all kinds of good stuff. Then the end is going to happen, and then, you know, we get to go to heaven or hell. They look at it as like, you know, back in the Old Testament, like before Noah, before the fall, you know, or before the flood, I mean. Like, people used to live like 1,000 years, all right? Everything was plentiful. They think of it as like that. And basically, there's three kinds of theories about this millennial period. There's the pre-millennials, the post-millennials, and then the amillennials, okay? I'll explain what that means. The pre-millennials basically say that Christ is going to come on earth, like today he's going to come, second coming, then we have 1,000 years of prosperity, and then heaven and hell. The post-millennials say kind of the flip. That there's going to be this 1,000 years of prosperity, and then Christ is going to come, and then, you know, the heaven and hell part. The Orthodox Church believes neither the pre or the post, but it believes the amillennials, which says that this millennial period, basically a meaning like without, okay? That Christ's second coming has nothing to do with an earthly kingdom of 1,000 years. This millennial period is a spiritual kingdom, okay? It's a spiritual period that began, it's not 1,000 years per se, but when did this period begin? Crucifixion. Okay, when Christ was crucified on the cross, that's when it started. Why? What do we say on Good Friday and all throughout Holy Week? We say that Christ has trampled down Satan, okay, by death he has trampled death, okay? And basically during this period, like I said, what the Bible says is that Satan will kind of be in like a cage. All right, you'll kind of be held back. Now, some of you look around and say, he's not held back. He's doing whatever he wants. No, he's not. If he was doing whatever he wants, we'd be in big trouble, okay? And you better believe that the only reason that we can stand, that we can breathe, that we can do the stuff, is because he's locked up, Alright? And the Lord gave him some abilities to do some stuff. He allowed some things, but you ain't even seen 1% of what the devil could be doing to you if he was let free. Alright? He's like a lion in a cage that's barking away and woof, woof, roughing. He can't bite you. Alright? What I'm saying is, or maybe lions don't ruff, ruff, ruff. It's like a dog that's ruff, ruff, ruffing, okay? That's barking, and that's hollering, and that's slobbering, that's saliva, and you say he's so scary. Yeah, he's scary, but he's locked up. And we, as Christians, there's nothing the devil can do to us. He can't touch us, all right? Because we are protected. So that's what the church says is that that millennial period, okay? And we're in it right now, and it ends when it ends, okay? And if anyone's interested, I have verses in the Bible, but I won't bore you guys with all that kinds of stuff, okay? The main reason that we can't believe the other two is because to believe either the other two, you're kind of saying that there's not a second coming, there's a third coming. Because the first coming was the incarnation, and then you say he comes for an earthly kingdom, and then he comes back again for the judging. It can't work that way, okay? There can't be three comings, there's only two of them, okay? So when you understand that millennial period, you understand where it fits in. That's a spiritual, and it's not an earthly, because obviously we've been through more than 1,000 years since Christ was crucified, in 2000 and change, or 1900 and change, or whatever. You see that all those things are not to be taken literally as much as symbolically and spiritually. Okay. Now, the exact meaning of those, I'll be honest, I don't consider myself an expert in the book of Revelation, and that's kind of beyond the scope here, but what I will refer to you, I have a good book at home, okay, written by Pope Shenouda. I have another good book written by Abuna Tedros, but more importantly, or not more importantly, but if you don't like to read, Abuna Pshoy did a Bible study series on Revelation like 3 years ago, and Wednesday night Bible study, and that's been taped, and that's really, really, really good. So I can direct anyone there, and then if you don't want to read, don't want to listen, you're a website guy, go to Bishop Yusuf's website, suscopts, suscopts.com, or org. One of them, okay? And under there, there's a literature section which talks about all kinds of different beliefs that we have, and he has like 10 articles. I tried to summarize these 10 into that little thing right there that I gave you, but he can give you more details on it. But the more last thing for us, what does all this mean to me? Very, very, very simple, okay? If I told you, all right, a bunch of facts, let's say, go back to chemistry since we've been talking about chemistry today, about how this chemical mixed with this chemical leads to this combustion, leads to a fire, leads to this, leads to that. That's not really that interesting. But then let's say I told you, your house is on fire right now, okay? That's going to be a little bit more like relevant to me. So what I'm telling you is, yeah, we're talking about facts, and they seem very theological and very doctrinal about the millennial, and then this, and then the war, and this and that. I'm telling you, the end of the world is not about the end of the world. It's about the end of your world, okay? And at the end of it, it's not just going to be about chemicals exploding. It's about your life is going to be on fire if you don't get this situation solved. It is critical for us to understand this. Not just focus on the facts, but like I said, see where it is that I fit into this. You can look at the book of Revelation, or the second coming, in two ways, okay? A lot of people look at it in a fearful way, all right? That's the wrong way. The way that we should look at it is that the second coming is not about fear. What it's all about, in one word, it's all about hope. Okay? Because what it is, like I said, it's our daddy coming home to save us. All right? Back to the cop example. The only time I'm scared of the cop is when I'm doing what? When I'm speeding. But if I got my seatbelt on and I'm driving at the cruise on the 55, okay, and I'm all set in my car, am I scared of the cop? No. It's the same thing when it comes to the second coming. If you listen to all this talk about the second coming, and you're sweating, and you're bullets, and you're this, and you're that, you need to fix your life. Because like I said, I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon, and it's going to happen quickly. Okay? And it can either be a scary day, or it can be, like I said, daddy coming home to take us back to heaven. All right? Any other questions? Okay, let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this day that you have given to us, and for this reminder that you have given to us, that you didn't leave us alone in this world, but that you are coming back to take us home. We thank you for that, dear Lord, and we really pray that when we hear about your second coming, that we would use it as a chance to motivate ourselves to be prepared, prepared for our Father to come home and take us up to heaven where we belong. We don't belong on this earth. We belong with you in heaven, and we can't wait for that day to come. Help each and every single one of us to prepare ourselves for that day. Bless our gathering. Bless our church. Give a special blessing and safety to Abuna Pshoy as he travels and throughout his time away. And bless His Holiness Pope Shenouda and the rest of our church. Ask all this name of our Lord Jesus Christ with intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all of your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.